OTB's Mount Rushmore. 32 counties, one county representative choosing their sporting Mount Rushmore. Some decisions are easy.
And I was seeing teachers who had never expressed any emotion whatsoever lose their mind when Sonny was running in that home straight, trying to catch that bald spot.
Others are controversial.
Mayo's greatest celebrity fan now helps him earn his place on Mayo's Mount Rushmore is Kevin Kilbane.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
George O'Connor, 17 summers in purple and gold.
And catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM, live every weekday at 7.30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
Right, you're very welcome along to Friday Night Racing, brought to you in association with Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment, visit hri.ie or follow the Twitter account at HRI Racing, and the hashtag is Every Racing Moment. Our guest this week is jockey Colin Keane. Colin, how are you getting on?
I'm not too bad, Ger. How are you keeping?
I'm very well, and Johnny Ward is with us as ever. Johnny?
Are you getting
on, Johnny? How are you, Johnny? All well?
All good, Colin. Yeah, you're it's getting closer.
Yeah, we're counting down the days now. We're not too far away, thank God.
I know I know a lot of people have kind of, you know, given out about racing being off, but to think that racing is back on Monday in Britain is something else, and then it'll just be a nice kind of week into the Irish, and we'll hopefully be back to normal. I think everyone in racing is very excited, and I'm sure you are.
Exactly, yeah. As I say, we're just counting down the days now, and can't wait for it to get going.
What's the break been like? Is there any part of the break that you're going to think, actually, I'm going to miss that little bit of extra time I had to do whatever or to rest my body? What's it actually been like for you?
It's nice at the start for a week or so, but after that it gets, I suppose, tedious, and you're just mad to get going, basically, because what you're used to being racing every day. But now we're definitely fresh and we're ready to go.
How is your body as an elite athlete who, you know, rides a massive, huge beast and at a very fast pace? How do you get back to the level where you were at the end of last season, for example?
Well, to be honest, I've been riding out every day since, so not much changed that way. I wasn't running for a couple of weeks, and I started running the last 2 weeks or so just to get fit again. But as I say, I know we're ready to go now.
And is that all you need to do? Like for you to feel confident next week when you're under starter's orders in Nace, it'll be like, yeah, my fitness is perfect. I'm ready to go.
As much as I can do, I suppose, without racing. The more racing there is, the better for fitness. After a week or so, you're fairly settled back into it, to be honest.
Right. And psychologically as well, I'm always interested in that. Like, when will you feel like, okay, I'm in the flow again, this is all very normal for me? Because I'm trying to establish essentially what's the difference between riding out when everybody's making sure that the horses are getting fit and being well to a race where everybody is going as fast as they possibly can and getting the most out of each other and the most out of the horse.
Yeah, that's what I say. The race fitness is probably a little bit different, but after a week or so, you get back into the swing of things. Because at home, you wouldn't be as hard on the horses or yourself. But just after a couple of days or a week or so, you're back to normal, I think.
Have you been watching races back to try and get your eye in about like what it's actually going to be like when there is somebody trying to slit your throat, essentially, on the horse beside you?
Yeah, pretty much. Been just watching replays from last year or early on in the winter, or I should say down in the dock or something, just to keep the head right. But no, we're looking forward to it now.
And is that the same? Is that good enough? Or are you like, does it make it a little bit worse? Jeez, I really wish I was in the middle of that race again.
It just gives you something, I think, to look forward to and just get back to it.
What's the complexity of this been like for the likes of Ger Lyons, Colin, and your dad, in terms of training horses kind of for targets that they don't really know exist anymore, or moving targets and going from training a horse to be ready to race and then no racing, and then I suppose keeping them half ready and then trying to get the whole kind of 100% out of it again? What's that been like for them?
Yeah, well, a lot of our horses were ready to go at the start of the year, and it's especially the horse that wants off ground, they've kind of missed their chance, I suppose. But Jerry kind of just backed off them for a few weeks, freshened them up, and gradually twisted the screw again with them, and they all seem ready to go now.
And how about your dad? Like, because, you know, the trainers at that sort of a scale, they're winners every year. They wouldn't have an awful lot of horses, and, you know, they have to deal with owners. Like, has it been tough for him to keep the show on the road?
It actually probably suited my father a little bit, because he's busy with pre-trainers for Jer, and his string as such would be a little bit behind. So they were catching up in that time, to be honest.
And how long is that relationship with the pre-training for Jer going on?
It's going on 3 years now, I think. It seems to be working, thankfully.
And is that something that, like, a lot of the smaller trainers, is something that they'd kind of be attracted to in terms of the economic boost of the pre-training and, you know, the guarantee of making some money out of it?
I suppose it's each their own. My father, he had plenty of horses years ago, but for what, things didn't go right for him, and he's making a good living from pre-training for Jerry and for other people, so he's happy.
Mm.
What has it been like down in Jerry Lyons over the last while, obviously? Because it's kind of a real sense of a coming force over the last number of years, to the point where, you know, he puts out a lot of horses that he realistically expects to win a lot of races. So when there is an interruption in that, it's not easy for anybody, but particularly when you've built up momentum over the last number of years, you're like, come on, let's get back out there.
Yeah, he's been very level-headed. There's not much he can do about it. It's nothing. It's out of his control. So you just take it day by day, and that's what he did. And as I say, we're just ready to go now.
Have you been riding out just there, or have you been riding out in other places as well?
Between Jer's and my father's, basically. Ride the odd piece of work for other people when I can, if they want me. But I'm between both yards mainly.
And was it always kind of likely that this was going to be your career? How did you get into it from, I suppose, what age were you when you started? And was it something your dad encouraged, or was he hoping you'd do something else?
I suppose I had ponies from a very young age, did plenty of hunting and show jumping, and then took the next step to do pony racing. We had a couple of ponies ourselves. We had a right little 14-hander pony. She was bought cheaply, and she turned out to be, she won over 35 races. She was a real good one. But they're the type of ponies I think you need pony racing to teach you. And it just kind of progressed there, and got my license out after my 16th birthday, and just went from there, I suppose.
I suppose we've spoken to some of the ex-pony racing circuit. I remember Jack Kennedy obviously was a notably kind of big recruit from the pony circuit. But could you explain to people what it's like? And you're so young as well, and all the excitement of going to these races and riding in them.
Yeah, exactly. You're in early teens or less even, riding around a field in 13 or 14 horses and ponies. A lot of the bigger horses would be off the track for if they have problems or whatever. And it's just a great experience, basically, getting to push a horse, ride a race, be in a position. It stood me well.
Do you get to know the other riders then at the time? You're all kids, obviously.
Exactly, yeah. It's interesting to see a group of you come along together and then get your license together. At my time, it was Ross Coakley, Kevin Sexton, Danny Benson, Megan Carberry. We were all kind of at the same age coming on together. And obviously, Paul Townend was ahead of us. Jack Kennedy was behind us. You know, it was each year or every couple of years, different young lads come out of it. And like Dylan McGonigal now, he's a very good young rider.
So when you're at a pony race and you're up against, you know, fairly very talented horse people who, you know, you kind of are going to be up against and competing, are you very competitive at that stage, or are you just there having the crack? Like, what was your mindset at that stage?
I suppose the older you are at it, the more serious it becomes. When you're starting off younger, it was probably about enjoying it and learning. And the older you get at it, it becomes more serious, definitely, yeah.
And as part of it becoming serious, in your own head, you're thinking, I want to do this for my job. This is what I want to be. I want to be a jockey. I've decided.
Yeah, to be yourself and for the people you're riding for. They take it serious.
So you obviously did decide kind of in your teens that you wanted to be a jockey. If you're getting your license at 16, from the time you're 12 or 13, that's what you have your eye on.
Yeah, pretty much. I wasn't great at school, so that was my only other option.
Yeah, I remember your start as well fairly well. I think we're talking 10 years ago now or so. You were sort of riding, came to the fore at Dundalk. What was that like? Because you're riding for your dad. I remember you racked up a sequence on a horse whose name I forget now, a middle distance horse. But you kind of came to prominence yourself and Conor King around that time. Would have been the talk of punters. What was it like as a young jockey kicking straight into Dundalk? And essentially, you're looking at Pat Smullen, you know, Shamie Heffernan and Declan McDonough, riders like that. You're riding against basically the best in the world, and you're thrown straight into a tricky track that is Dundalk as well.
Yeah, it's a big shock to the system, so it is. These are the lads you look at on telly and you look up to, and then to be riding against them, it's a bit daunting. But after a couple of rides and nerves settle down, you get the hang of things and you really start to enjoy it. I was lucky enough that I was riding for my father for the first few rides, so there wasn't too much pressure on it. I think my seventh ride, I had a winner, and so it kind of all was straightforward, you could say.
And what his relationship with you, like, what was it like? Because some fathers kind of, they, you know, they take very little interest in their kids' sporting activities. Others take almost too much interest. Some parents can be very supportive. Some can kind of knock you down and kind of bring you up different ways. So what was your relationship like with your dad as you came along the years?
My father, he'd be very laid back, man, but if he thought he did something wrong, he'd tell you. He wouldn't hold back on it. But no, he was very good to me now.
And I suppose he had the right attitude for a jockey who was definitely shown talent. But also, I mean, obviously at the start, you're going to make a lot of mistakes and need time.
Exactly, yeah. He'd never force anything on you. He'd let you want to do it or want to do it yourself, you know. And if you needed correcting, he was there for it.
And were the jockeys kind of welcoming, or as you said, it was daunting? Did you get to know them fairly quickly?
I do. The weigh room was a great place. It's a great bunch of lads. They're all very welcoming, and they make you feel at home.
Mm. I mean, he must have been unbelievably proud. Seven races in, and you have a winner in Dundalk. Like, you know, I'm sure he was trying not to transmit any nervousness on his behalf. You said he's very laid back, but you must be nervous for your own child on, you know, one of your own horses in this scenario, because there's all sorts of stuff going on in your head. It's like, geez, is he ready for this? You know, if I wait too long to put him out, when's he ever going to get the experience? Have I done the right thing? So all that goes into that whole relationship too, that probably when you're 16, you're just oblivious to.
Yeah, exactly. The filly that we won on, No Trimmings was her name. She was after she won a handicap as a 3-year-old, and she kind of lost her way a bit. Davey Moran got off her one day and said, just try the young lad on her, put blinkers on her and try and take 10 pounds off her and see does it work. And it worked. And we ended up winning 3 or 4 on her. She was a good filly for me, so she was. And the man, the owner, Lee McHugh, he's a lovely man. We actually have a filly out of her now. She's a 3-year-old as well, Miss Molly T, which is hopefully one to look forward for this summer.
I suppose that was the horse that kind of got you going to an extent, and then must be really, really nice to see the offspring, and you're going to be riding that in the future as well.
Exactly, yeah. She was a lovely mare to learn on, and as you say, to have her daughter with us now is great.
So that's 2010 and you're 16. I think the first time kind of the whole country starts to take notice might be 2014, when you finish second in the Champion Apprentice race. Is that right, with 50 odd winners that year?
That's right, yeah. I think we were second to Connor. He beat us by 2 winners maybe.
Mm.
But yeah, that was our first year with Jer, I think. That was
How did the move to Jer come about? What is that process where a promising young jockey comes through and a trainer goes, ooh, I like the cut of your jib? How does that work?
Well, he was starting to downsize as such, and he said basically you need to go and find a job somewhere. So I was thinking about going to England, and my agent Rory Tierney rang me, said there's an apprentice race there in Dundalk and you can ride for Jer Lyons. I said okay. He said he wants you to go up and sit on the horse. So I went in to ride out for Jer, and then I asked him for a job riding out, and that's basically how it happened then. Went from there.
That day, the conversation is, can you get up here and this is going to stick you in the apprentice race? I will, yeah, but you have to give me a job. Is that how it worked?
Not exactly like that, but that's the short of it.
Right.
Jer is an interesting, both Jers are very interesting characters, but Jer Lyons, he doesn't take any missing. So like, what was your first sort of impressions of the big man?
From day one, we've got on. I don't say a whole pile, so I just kept my mouth shut, went in and worked away.
And how did the ride go?
I think he was placed. I won on him the second time, but he was placed the first time. I think he was third or fourth or third, and then I won on him. Shukov was his name.
Oh yeah, so are you thinking then, like, as much as Jer has grown and grown, that was a hell of a job to get at that stage.
Oh, I know. I was just delighted to be in the yard. Coming, obviously, my father being such a smaller yard and not the quality of horses that Jer had, just to get in and ride out 10 types of horses, I was delighted.
They must have been quite a confidence boost, though, as well, where that conversation goes well. Like, obviously, your agent has had a conversation with them about this, and so you're on the radar there. But to essentially be given a job very early on would suggest that he had spotted something in you, that he wanted to be in the yard on a regular basis and also kind of groomed for the next job.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it started out that way and it just kind of led to that. But as I say, we were just lucky he took us on, because otherwise we could be in England going up and down the country.
But how many other people was he taking on at that stage? Like, I'd say in his head, he's definitely like not taking on any Owl Mug, is he?
Well, I was the only apprentice there. I was the only apprentice because Gary Carroll and Emmett McNamara were the main two jockeys there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Gary would have shared an apprentice title as well, I think. But to be fair to you, yourself and Conor King around that time, you had kind of made a serious impression, and you had shown this. Like, you had a very nice style of riding for a young lad. I think he probably knew he was buying, like, say, an 18 or 19 year old footballer, like, that has an awful lot of potential. He probably knew he was probably getting in a bit ahead of the market, maybe.
Maybe he did. I'm not sure.
You're too humble here, Colin. That's the problem. You're too humble.
Well, it's very interesting you say that, though, because Jer, you often mention sliding doors moments, but if Colin goes to England, and England can become a bit of a rat race, so how do you think that might have gone for you? Had you any idea where you would have gone, like trainers? Would you have gone north or south, or what did you in mind?
As far as I know, we were going to get a trial with Mark Johnson, but I think he was more looking for a natural light rider that could do the bottom weights, and I couldn't do that, so... To be honest, it probably wouldn't have worked out, and I'd probably be travelling the length and breadth of the country in England.
Sorry, excuse my ignorance here. Explain that. He wanted a natural rider to do the bottom weights. What does that mean?
A natural light weight jockey, like, that could walk around 8.4. My bottom weight is 8.8, basically, and I wouldn't do them light weights.
Okay, so that would have been too much of a struggle. Or you just couldn't do them? Yeah.
I just couldn't do them, yeah.
As much as you're well known for your front running tactical nous and that, would it have been attractive to you to ride for Mark Johnson in the sense of how he likes his horses ridden? It's kind of fairly one dimensional. Was that an aspect of your thinking at the time?
No, I can't say it was, to be honest.
Mm.
No.
Well, Johnny, you explain it, because obviously, you know, Colin is quite humble here. Front running tactical nous, explain that.
Well, yeah, like Mark Johnson is a very set way of training. I personally find his horses very hard to predict, but he trains them. They race. He's a particular business model. But for Colin, like, I think, you know, we shouldn't underestimate the importance and the value of being able to live in your own country. And like, Colin, is that something that you've probably thought about since? And that, like, it could have gone the other way in England. If you have a bad year or two, you might just start doubting yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I'm blessed that I stayed here, and just the way it has worked out.
And there isn't so much traveling as well. And like we'll say, you're riding at the dock, which is just down the road. The Curra, you know, the Mead tracks are all close. And, you know, I suppose you have a decent quality of life as well, which is important.
Exactly. Our furthest trip would be Listowel or Killarney. Mm. And realistically, they're not that far away. When you go to England, that's a normal day for them, I think. You know.
And did Ger have a kind of a set like way that he wanted you to ride the horses from the get go, or is it like an individual horse by horse basis?
No, he's a very easy man to ride for. He doesn't really tie you down to instructions, because he could tell you one thing and the stall's open and the complete opposite thing could happen. So you kind of just ride the horse, the individual as you find them, basically.
And who were you modelling yourself on in the early days? Genuine in particular.
I looked up a lot to Johnny Murta when I started out first. He rode a good few winners for my father when he didn't have anything good enough, but he's a fellow Mead man, so
can't go wrong.
I looked up, exactly.
How did he get on the Mount Rushmore, Ger, actually?
I think Johnny Murta made it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He absolutely made it, because I was going to insist on him. He did 100% make it. Colin, when you were looking up to him, are you trying to steal his style of being a jockey? Are you influenced like that? Because I'm always interested in how jockeys get better, or how you know, because with a footballer, it's fairly obvious. You hit certain markers, you get on the ball a bit more, you dominate games a bit more. You know, if you're a defender, you close down crosses. But from a jockey's perspective, the wins-loss ratio, it either goes up or down, and that's how the outside world views you as successful. But what do you kind of try at the start of a season to say, I want to get better at certain aspects of the game? How do you improve race to race?
Well, I suppose starting out, you look at the likes of Johnny Murta and the Pats Mullins, and what way they ride races or where they are in races, different paces of races and stuff like that. And then kind of each year I started at the start of the year, you just try and beat the previous year's tally. And if you've done something wrong throughout the year or someone's getting on to you, you try not to make that mistake again, or try to keep everyone happy.
They're tactical mistakes you're talking about, are they, as opposed to horsemanship mistakes?
A bit of both. Right. A bit of both, to be honest.
What kind of horsemanship stuff are you practicing, or are you concerned about, or are you trying to hone and get better at?
Just during a race, or as a young lad and you're a little bit sloppy and you're all over the place and lads are getting onto you, that's them kind of things you don't want happening, basically.
Is that a mental focus? Is it a physical strength, like getting stronger as you get older? What is that?
It's a bit of both. It's a bit of both. Just being aware of the people around you. Safety first, you know?
I'm always fascinated by how you kind of improve. And ultimately, it comes down to winners. That was the first thing you reached for there. I want to beat my tally from last year. First year, you're runner-up in the apprentice race. Second year, you're just runner-up in the overall race, and it's only Pat Mullen ahead of you. So that's a fairly meteoric rise when you go from first year, Ger Lyons, amazing success. Second year, also amazing success.
Yeah, well, that's Ger Lyons in a nutshell, basically. The horse, since I've been there, the horse each year have just improved, and it's very hard to win races on bad horses.
What sets him apart as a trainer?
What sets him apart? His attention to detail is second to none. He's very patient with a horse, and he gives them all the time in the world if they need it. And he's just very good at what he does.
And I suppose you're coming into last year and you fall upon this 2-year-old. Called Siskin, and was it, obviously he's a striking horse. I saw the photos of him, I think, from at the races there on Instagram the other day. He looks an unreal nick, as do a lot of people, I suppose, in the weather at the moment. But was he immediately impressive as a 2-year-old when you started riding him?
Yeah, pretty much from day one. He was a very straightforward horse, and he always showed us that he had a high level ability at home, and then he brought it to the track, and I think he progressed with every run.
Yeah, and I know you rode Laganor Twin in Italy, and you won a very very well placed Group 1 for Tony Martin, but was this the horse that you'd been kind of waiting for?
Yeah, I think so. Especially to get it for the boss. I needed to repay him for all the confidence he put into me as a young jockey, and it just, especially for the owners as well, to have them, we only have them in the yard, that's our second season, and to get such a good horse for them is very important.
I remember when he won at the Curra, I think it was the same day that the Curra had some issues with the, I think the electricity went out or something. There were a couple of teething problems, and I remember meeting Ger before the race. This was, trying to think which day this was now. It was probably
Marble Hill, I'd say.
It was either the Railway Stakes or the Marble Hill, but I remember Ger was getting a bit agitated when the lights went out, because you could tell the pressure was there. And I remember meeting him immediately after the race and this unbelievable sense of relief. It was that you could just tell that he put so much stock in this horse. And I know things went completely kind of awry at Newmarket in the year, but just that day at the Curra, he obviously has invested an awful lot of faith in this horse. And he is kind of, I suppose, his horse of a lifetime so far as well.
Exactly, and it was a big shout for him as well to ask, could he go by Ascot and come straight to the Curra for the Railway. And they put their faith in him, and thankfully it paid off.
What happened at Newmarket?
I don't know. Being honest, it happened very quick, and I couldn't give you an answer.
This is the mad thing about like horses. You put your faith into an anti-post bet like this, and it genuinely seemed, if you can explain to people what happened, but it genuinely seemed the last thing anyone expected.
It's so unlike him. His temperament is to die for, and just to do something like that. He has never done that since he came out of the back of the stalls and walked around, picked grass. You wouldn't even say he was after doing it.
So, sorry, Johnny, what did happen?
So he just wouldn't load, and it was like you're talking about a proper Group 1 middle park. Ger had planned it that he'd avoid Pinatubo on the National Stakes, which is obviously turned out to be a pretty wise decision, because he ends up winning the National Stakes, one of the best performances you'll ever see. Ger targets the middle park, which is 6 furlongs as well. Everything looked in place, and then Colin, he just doesn't go into the stalls.
No, he went in. It was the second last horse was going in. He just somersaulted in them.
Mm.
And obviously he couldn't run after that then.
Mm.
That must be also fairly scary.
That's a bit frightening, but sure. It'll be all right.
Does he land on you, or do you kind of squirt out the bottom? What happened?
I actually jumped in beside Wayne Lauren. Well, Lauren, he grabbed me out of the way, thankfully.
Right. Because, you know, those are very confined spaces designed specifically so that there isn't that much room for the horse to move. So unbelievable athleticism to be able to somersault in the first place. But then also, I do guess, pretty scary for you. And then, obviously, now favourite for the 2,000 guineas, which is, what, less than 2 weeks away? 2 weeks away tomorrow.
Exactly, yeah. But he's done very well over the winter, and he's in great nick now, so we're just looking forward to that.
And pardon,
how is the prep? Sorry, Ger, how is the prep been, what with the year we've had and all that? And obviously this is, Aidan O'Brien might do it, but it's fairly unusual for a trainer to go straight into an Irish Guineas without a run.
It's probably suited him, actually. The more time he's got, the better he's become. As I say, he looks a picture now. He's training real well, so we're very happy with him.
Mm. And you're avoiding Pinatubo as well, which is no harm.
Exactly, yeah.
Would you feel the pressure now coming to the day? Like, is this would this be a particularly special race for you? Probably the most the highest profile ride you'll probably ever have today. It'll be him in the Guineas.
Exactly, yeah. There will be a little bit of pressure, obviously, but I think it's what you want. It's the type of horses you want to be riding on in them sort of races.
What do you make of his trip for the year?
We'll find out after next weekend.
Ah, come on. Give me more than that now. He's never raced beyond 6 furlongs. He's going to a mile. Punters are desperate for something to back. Give us more than that now.
All I'll say is he'll give himself every chance to stay. He's a very relaxed horse. So we'll find out together.
Lovely.
Colin, you must feel like you're cresting to a peak in your own career at the moment then. And obviously there's been a bunch of months lost here, and there's nothing you can do about that. But It seems like you feel very confident in your own abilities now. The level of experience you have is the right amount of experience for whatever scenarios you're about to face. You've basically faced almost everything that you possibly can as a jockey at this point, but you're still young and have the athleticism that a young jockey should have. So do you feel like you're cresting to a peak?
I think so. I think my riding has improve with each year. As I say, riding good horses, nice horses each year is a big help. And I think we're ready for the Guineas now in 2 weeks, and we're looking forward to it.
Are there defeats that you look back on now that you think, geez, if only I had that back and knew what I know now, I'd be able to fix that?
Not really. I don't try and overthink about getting beat on too many, because it'll only bring you down, I think.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. And like, what is your approach to races in terms of, are you much of a form judge? Do you watch replays back much and all that?
I'd watch a lot of replays, all right, yeah. I just know where the pace is, and after that, I kind of, we ride them as we find them.
And Siskin in the Guinea, the Curragh is obviously like a very, very fair mile, and you know, no wonder Aidan loves running horses at the Curragh, because basically the best horse tends to win. But what's it like riding a horse that's stepping up 2 furlongs in trip at the Curragh? Like, what would make the Curragh any different to anywhere else for riding a horse that is stepping up in trip in a race of that nature, first run of the season as well?
Well, he's 3 from 3 at the track, so we know he likes the track.
Mm.
I know it'll be his first time going that trip, but we'll give him a chance, let him take his time a little bit, and give him every chance to get the mile.
Where does this come up in your favourite tracks to ride?
Yeah, it'll be up there. The likes of Curra, Leopardstown, Dundalk, they're all good tracks to me, and Nace, obviously, they'd be my 4 picks, I think.
Can I ask you about actually being in a race and when the adrenaline kicks in? Is it just before the stalls open? Is that the period where you're kind of at your most agitated because you don't know what's going to happen? Or is it later on as you're coming to the finish line with a chance of winning?
It's probably, yeah, just as you're about to jump out is the most nerve-wracking, or butterflies in your stomach. That'd be the most of it, I think.
Do you enjoy that bit? It's like, because there's a kind of slightly masochistic feeling where it's like, okay, this could go either way here, but that must be the most exciting bit.
I think it's good, yeah. It's excitement and looking for, ready for a buzz of it. It's something to look forward to.
Yeah, and then close finishes, what are they like to be in?
Good if you're on the right side of them.
And so when you're not, what do you do now? You, like, you've obviously, this is the thing, it's like, in most sports, the aim is to win every time you're out there. With the jockey, if you've had 10 or 12 or 14% winning streak, you're like one of the best jockeys that's ever lived. So most of your career is like defeat, 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 win. Defeat, 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 defeat. And that's just how it is. So, like, how do you not let that get into you over a period of time?
Well, if there's not much you can do about it. If it's your own fault, obviously, you hold your hands up, apologise to the trainer, say what you should have done instead of doing what you did. And if there's not much you did do wrong and it ran to the best of its ability, well done.
How would you assess the quality riders in Ireland at the moment? Your old rival Pat Mullen and your old rival Dunnock O'Brien both retired, and who's sort of, I suppose, coming up to take their place to your mind?
You could name any amount of riders. Ireland's very so competitive, so it is.
And how would it compare to Britain?
Well, I'm not too sure because I don't ride in Britain enough, but it's competitive enough over here.
What about the young lads coming up? You mentioned Dylan McGonigal, actually. There is a nice crop of young riders at the moment coming through, even though you'd nearly forget about them. It's been so long away, but who should people be looking out for?
Obviously, Dylan looks like a very talented young rider. Gavin Ryan, Andrew Slattery. You could be here all day naming them, to be honest, I think.
And in terms of the equine comparables from that, what are the quality of your 2-year-olds this year? Any horses to look out for?
We look like we have a lovely mixed bunch of colts and fillies. We don't have too many sharp horses. We have a handful for maybe 6 furlongs, but majority of them will be 7 furlong to milers. But they look a nice bunch.
And do you envisage it being much different when you come back on Monday week, in that, you know, jockeys are obviously a little bit not race fit because they haven't been riding, the horses haven't been racing. Do you think form will be reliable, or is there going to be a case of, like, we're slightly kind of in the dark here to a little degree for punters to know kind of what you should be going for?
I don't think so. I think everyone will be, as I say, raring to get going. So I think all the trainers will have their horses fit, and all the jockeys are mad to get going, so they'll have themselves as fit as they can. As I say, after a couple of days of race riding, they'll be back to normal.
It obviously has been a wild period in the world because of what's been happening, but we are entering a phase now where, all going well and everything being successful, we're about to enter into a fairly mad period from a racing perspective as well, where the calendar for the rest of the year gets concertinaed into quite a short period of time, which means there's good quality, big races, big purses every week, essentially, for the next 8, 10, 12, 14 weeks.
Exactly, yeah. For the first month, I think we've only 2 days off, so that's great. We're helter-skelter for the first month. I'll be racing every day, so can't wait for that.
Yeah, you wouldn't want it any other way. Well, Colin, thanks very much. Best of luck next week when racing comes back, and continued success. It's been a remarkable story so far. I wish yourself and Ger Lyons all the best with it. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks, Colin.
Thanks.
Colin Keane with us this week on Friday Night Racing. Johnny, we're nearly back to getting some tips. I don't know if you've been looking at the racing in the UK, but certainly this time next week we'll be expecting tips from you. I noticed that your line of questioning in recent weeks has been, you know, we don't really have any form. Are the horses fit? Are the jockeys actually going to be ready for this? Essentially, you've been getting your excuses in before the bad tips reemerge.
I think you're kind of slightly putting words in my mouth there, but yes, that is accurate. You know, pre-made excuses make you sound like you kind of half expected to fail in the first place. Fail better, as Beckett might say. But I am looking forward to coming back, but I would, like I was kind of alluding to it there, Ger, I would be a little bit wary in the early few fixtures. You kind of want to suss things out, and even for somebody who punts on horses, like I basically haven't had a bet now in 3 months, so you're kind of like, you're out of the habit of like looking up form all the time, and a lot of punters have horse trackers entries update, and I got a horse has been declared email during the week, and I was like, what the hell is this? And it brought me back to literally 3 months ago, because there have been no horses entered. So you know Aidan O'Brien and the top trainers are going to have their horses ready, but I'd just be a little bit wary. I'm obviously looking forward to seeing Siskin. I think if he stays, he's a massive chance, and obviously Pinatubo, then if he can train on, which he should train on, and kind of prove to be as spectacular as he looked that day at the Curragh, it was one of the most outstanding performances I've ever seen. But it's going to be great getting racing back. You know, I will reiterate this, you know, as much as it's great to get racing back, behind closed doors is far from ideal going forward. It really has to be a temporary thing, and I hope the government moves on that quickly, because you know, race courses are under serious pressure, and even going back behind closed doors is nowhere near that their business model. So hopefully sooner or later we get sort of, you know, some sort of attendance back. And there was a fascinating piece with Kevin Prendergast recently in the Racing Post, where he was bemoaning the fact that neither he nor Dermot Well could go racing because of their age. And he said, John Ox, I think he crept in, he got in by a month. And you're kind of thinking of the underage footballer who was born in January as opposed to December. And I was born in November. That's why I was useless when I was younger. But at the same time, the fact that John Ox can go racing, but Dermot Well can't because of a quirk of the pandemic kind of approach, it's just mad times when you think about it.
Absolutely.
And Kevin Prendergast is like, I think he's 88 in a couple of weeks, and he said, this is a nonsense that I can't go racing. And you just have to admire lads like that, that you know, and he's still very excited about Mad Moon as a four-year-old, and just the whole, what a man, basically, but he can't go racing.
Yeah, however, one other thing that we should kind of speak about briefly before we wrap up here is that there's a big window of opportunity for the sports which come back first to get new people interested and to try and convert them into long-time users of that sport into the future. It's a little bit like the stats that came out during the week that said we've never been more active than we have been over the last month or so, where Sport Ireland, in their annual survey, it turns out we're all cycling, we're all going running, we're all doing stuff that we were kind of putting on the long finger, and that the gender gap in sport has completely collapsed, where previously there were fewer women than there are men doing sport and sporting activity. That has now completely collapsed for the benefit of the country as a whole. Also, racing is going to be on TV a good bit more now over the next while, and I think there's a big opportunity for it.
100%, yeah. All you're saying there, I completely agree with. You know, I found early on in the lockdown, I play AstroTurf, so that's my general sort of exercise, but I had a hamstring injury, so I hadn't been really playing going into the lockdown, and then obviously the lockdown came, so I wasn't going back, and I found getting into a real rut where I wasn't doing exercise, so it kind of compelled me to do it. And I think an awful lot of people, and as much as social media, you know, it's not the panacea for anything really, like a lot of people were putting up that they were doing their 5K runs on social media, and people were probably nearly guilted into putting their togs on on, man, woman and child, and going out. And some of the things I've seen in the Phoenix Park, where I've seen a daddy running with his son or daughter or dog, or the family running together or cycling together and all this stuff. Phoenix Park last night was absolutely off the charts, all of the various activities that were going on there. And getting back to the second part of your question, racing has a massive opportunity. The fact that it's on RTE, I think is clever on this by RTE, because obviously its schedule has been decimated. But we really do have a chance to try to sell the product here, because there's so little on. And I hope that the coverage of it gives it the sort of the quality it deserves, because there's so much going on in a horse race. It's not horses running around the field alone. There's so much going on. We've the best horses, the best jockeys in the world. Brilliant, but very different racetracks. There's an awful lot of nuances of tactics going on. And why not give it a try? You know, that hour-long show that RT is going to have, I think is a really great initiative, and will bring floating voters to the sport, whether they like it or not. So there is an opportunity, Ger. I hope the League of Ireland kind of maybe can sense that as well soon enough, that there isn't much football on. If we can get the League of Ireland back, be an opportunity to sell that, as well as overseas to people who might want to watch sports. So in crisis, there's always opportunity.
Another €100 donation brings the Tote Irish Injured Jockeys Fund all the way up to €1,540. With the UK racing back next week and the start of Irish racing looming in the horizon, we are starting to get a sense of normality, including, as I said, the imminent return of Johnny Ward's weekly tips. The Bank Holiday weekend will see the first classics of the season, with the Poule d'Essai de Poulain and Poule d'Essai de Pouliche coming from Deauville on Monday. Don't miss any of the action, with full betting and streaming available on thetote.com. This week's Friday Night Racing is in the books, brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Check out at HRI Racing on Twitter and the hashtag Every Racing Moment. We'll see you next Friday, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Johnny, have a good weekend.
Same to you, Ger.
Cheers.
Friday Night Racing.
On Off The Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.